The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
First, we come to President Donald Trump's threat to blockade the Strait of Hormuz at 3 p.m. today. And this comes after a diplomatic team led by the U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance tried and failed to reach a negotiated settlement to end the conflict with Iran on Saturday. Joining us now to tell me more is former head of the International Coast Guard, Chris Reynolds. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Lise Doucette from the BBC was explaining to us earlier that this threat now to blockade the strait has been modified by President Trump. He's now saying that it will be tankers going in and out of Iranian ports that will be stopped by the US Navy. But how might that work in practice? What will it look like?
Well, simply, they can just park a few destroyers on the far side of Hormuz and deny any vessels leaving the Gulf. It's quite simple to do. Just stay out of the Iranian arc of fire, and tankers won't put themselves at risk, so they won't travel.
Mm-hmm. But how difficult is it going to be for the US vessels while they're doing this to stay out of danger?
Well, the Iranians have long-range missiles as well, so obviously they can target U.S. warships, and they've also said they've mined the Strait of Hormuz, the southern side of the Strait of Hormuz around the Kashbah foreland. The reason they're saying that is with mine warfare, with mines, you don't have to put any mines down. You just have to say there's mines there, and then shipping can't enter those areas. So what they've kind of done is pushed all shipping that wants to go in and out up towards the Iranian coast.
Mm-hmm. You have experience in dealing with mines, don't you? You're a clearance diving officer, or you were in your Navy days.
Yeah, I'm a mine warfare officer, yes.
Mm-hmm. So explain to us how the mines would be dealt with. Is it a case of, as you say, avoid the area totally, or do you try and get down there and blow them up, deal with them so that you can get in and use those waters?
This is where America has a problem. The thing about NATO is that they divide up what roles they have. So Germany does the main battle tanks, France does something else, and the UK does something else. What the US has done is they got rid of all their mine sweepers and mine hunters. So they have no mine warfare capability left. So they need the UK and other NATO countries to do that work for them. They have a couple of ships called littoral combat ships that have a limited mine warfare capability, but they really need to send in minesweepers. Minesweepers look after the buoyant mines, those mines you see with the spikes on chains, the old traditional Russian ones you see around. And they have actually succeeded in hitting a destroyer, US destroyer. Samuel S. Roberts was attacked in 1988 by an Iranian mine and it blew up, and a lot of people were injured. 10 people were injured on board. So there is history there. Mm-hmm. They may have some ground mines. Ground mines are different. They sit on the seabed and you need mine hunters to find them. So the hunters will go in with high-tech sonars and underwater robots. And when they find the mine, they'll basically render it safe by blowing it up.
And why has the US gotten rid of all of their mine sweepers and mine hunters?
Good question. It was a very stupid thing to do, in my opinion. But they have. So they have focused on other areas of warfare. But that's the issue with NATO. You divide up the skill sets that each country has to bring to the table. They decided mine warfare wasn't something they needed to worry about. Mm-hmm. And from an American point of view, I can see that point. No one's going to mine US waters.
But the people who are policing this from the United States side, they're going to have to be able to figure out, well, is that really an Iranian ship going in, or is it disguised under a false flag? I mean, you would imagine that all of that will be happening too in a bid to avoid this blockade.
Yes, I imagine what the US will do, first of all, is tell that all tankers passing must turn on their, it's called AIS, the Automated Information System, so identification system, so it can identify each ship as it comes out or in. And then if a ship appears in a radar that's not pinging on AIS, well, that's a target of interest, and they'll probably board that by helicopter.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you'll have nations like China, like India, Malaysia, who depend on Iranian oil, deeply impacted by this. How are they likely to respond?
Well, that's the thing that no one is really talking about up to now, because in my opinion, China is the key that unlocks this. China is so invested in Middle Eastern oil, its markets. It's invested in keeping the Suez open for its goods coming to Europe. It has invested in the East African ports, Djibouti, Dar es Salaam, Mombasa. It is completely dependent on economically on this area. So China has a huge interest now in bringing Iran to the table and sorting this out. And the US are certainly playing that card now.
Mm-hmm. But the ask of Iran is huge. You know, the red lines, as Lise Doucette described them earlier, it's very difficult for Iran to go there, even with pressure from China.
I think if Iran opened the Straits of Hormuz, the US would back off. The issue about nuclear weapons, etc., that can be handled over time. The ballistic missiles can be handled over time, but the what's up in front now before the November elections is the price of oil and the price of goods. So if they open the straits, I think that will be enough for President Trump to call a ceasefire.
Mm-hmm. But of course, in the short term, we're going to see, and we saw overnight, the price of Brent crude oil increasing by about 14%. This is going to drive the prices higher, or certainly keep them at the higher level that they're currently at, over $100 a barrel.
It will. It will, yes. And you saw the modification of Trump's threat that European tankers and tankers not related to Iran can pass. But again, they're not going to do that because Iran has said if you try to go through the straits, we'll attack you. So there is no easy end in sight. I think the keys here are to bring China much more front and center into this debate, and for the straits to open up again as mm-hmm. soon as possible.
I mean, people have said, since Donald Trump made this threat, and it looks like he's going to carry it out at 3 o'clock today, that it is madness, it's further escalation. But given where the talks got to over the weekend, do you think it is a wise strategy to try and push this along by doing this?
It's the sensible next move on the chessboard. Iran depends on its oil for its revenue. If you cut that off, Iran is in a hard place. Rather than just bombing Iran to the table, economically you'll starve Iran to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So, in pure war terms, in pure military terms, it is a sensible thing to do.
Yeah, but Iran is a tough customer, and you'll know this. You know, it is not easy to force Iran to do anything. I mean, even when we look back at the last nuclear deal that was done, it took 18 years for the United States to negotiate that deal. That's who you're dealing with.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize how decentralized Iran is. There's no real central power in Iran. It's all decentralized with different clans, different tribes and different sects. So to bring all them to the table at the same time is nearly impossible. So this is going to be a very difficult thing to unlock. As I say, I think we have to go to the Far East, to China, India, to actually push Iranians to open up the straits, because America won't do it by itself.
Well, let's see what happens in the coming days and indeed hours, because that threat is going to materialise, we expect, at 3 o'clock this afternoon our time. Chris Reynolds, former head of the International Coast Guard, thank you for joining.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.